It is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. You can hear Arthur here on Robinhood Radio live every Monday morning. And we rebroadcast during the week and also on the weekend. And I say good morning to Arthur. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Well, I'm okay, a bit angry.
Uh-oh.
Coming off of Hanukkah, I made my grandmother's lechana, which I now probably know more about than anyone. This what turns out to be the practically national dish of Belarus. Anyway, it's a heavy dish, heavy on meat. I wasn't eating so healthfully, so I decided time for a vegetarian break, which of course requires vegetables.
Yes.
So you go to the supermarket, and even if your supermarket has reasonable quality, it's not usually priced very well. So around here, the prices have become, I think, insane, because like at $3.69 a pound for pears is only 30 cents less per pound than ground meat. So I have to travel for vegetables if I really want to be eating a lot of vegetables and fruit as well. It's not only pears. Around here, you know, a bunch of broccoli, Rob, costs $4. I am so into spinach lately. It's hard to find this time of the year, although I did. That's another topic for the morning here. But spinach around here can be like $2.49 a bunch. Once you clean it up, there's not much left. You know, that's like maybe a cup of spinach cooked, if that much. No, it's, you know, it's, if you squeeze it out, it's a cup. So I go to a produce market. There are, New York City has a lot of these places. I don't know where they are. They're mainly in middle-class neighborhoods, not in poor neighborhoods. In poor neighborhoods, you really have trouble getting good produce. They're mainly in middle-class neighborhoods with a good immigrant population. The one that I go to is, you know, I guess you could say it's Bensonhurst, but they like to say it's Diker Heights over there. It's a fine line. By the way, just sidebar here, Diker Heights is the number one place to go to if you want to see incredible Christmas decorations. The houses are so decorated there, and I mean, some of them actually have stage directors who work up shows and go on in front of the houses, not with live people, but usually with you know, mechanical snowmen and Santa Clauses. They now close the streets in real Diker Heights, where there are big, beautiful houses, at this time of the year because there's too much congestion. So you have to park in the golf course parking lot, which is across the avenue, and walk around, which is a better way to see the lights anyway, I think, unless it's freezing out, then you want to be in a car doing it. But anyway, back to the produce market. For those interested, it's called Circus Produce, but they're even five blocks away, there's another one. These are block-long produce stands. They dot the city, at least in the boroughs. I never saw one in Manhattan. And there could be one in Harlem, for all I know. And they have everything from half-rotten stuff that they're trying to get rid of. And by the way, there is an audience for that. I mean, if you have very little money, you can, if you rummage through a box of whatever, you'll find a few good ones. And then they have top-of-the-line stuff, but not only top-of-the-line normal stuff, but produce that their various ethnic customers look for. So, and you know, these days I like to say, if you really want to shop wisely, and you should shop in season, not just because it's produce that's probably better for you because it's in season, locally, I mean, not out of season, not in season in Argentina. It's also it costs less, meaning when things are plentiful, when they are in season, they're plentiful, the price goes down. So at the beginning, just to give you an example, at the beginning of asparagus season, when you first see let's discount Mexican asparagus, but when you first start seeing domestic asparagus, which is usually April, they could be $4.99 a pound. By the time you get to the height of the season, which is the end of May, you're talking maybe $1.99 a pound. Or if you're a good shopper, you probably can find them for 99 cents a pound. Because they're so plentiful, the price goes down. So that's one indication of, by the way, what's in season is what's well-priced. But now that we get start by saying that most of our fruit and vegetables these days come from Florida, no matter where you live, California, Mexico, a lot from Mexico in the Northeast. I don't know about the rest of the country.
Arizona.
And Central America. I mean, we get a lot of our tropical fruits from Honduras and Costa Rica, things like that.
What about Arizona, Arthur?
Yes.
Arizona. Have you noticed also?
But literally the top four places are Florida, California, Mexico, and Central America. And yes, I know things come from Arizona, but I rarely see anything labeled grown in Arizona.
So this is interesting, and this looks like it's just after the romaine. And how you mentioned earlier you've been on a spinach kick. I've been on a spinach kick too. I can't explain it. But now on bags of overpriced produce or those little plastic it says where it's grown, when it was harvested, where it was processed. And that's the only reason that I even have this list in my mind, because I was looking at some...
Well, I know, but I look at these things, and as I said, I can't remember when I last saw something grown in Arizona.
Yesterday for me, but okay.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Greenhouse salad or something. I'm not putting it down. I'm just saying, most of the good stuff I see comes from Mexico. Not fruit, but vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, since Mexico invented peppers, peppers are from prehistoric times, from Mexico, I always figure they grow them better than they do in Canada. So a lot of stuff is labeled Canada, but not that I buy it, but I haven't, believe me, I love Canada, but I haven't had a whole lot of luck with greenhouse grown in Canada.
Right.
So, and in fact, some brands will, brand name like cherry tomatoes or whatever, if you read the package, some of it's grown in Mexico and some of it's grown in Canada. It could be exactly the same label otherwise. But in the fine print, somewhere on that box, it's going to tell you where it's grown.
Are you an advocate of reading the fine print?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Well, an advocate, I don't know how much time in the day people have, but I read them. I have a lot of time to do this. It's also part of my job to be informed about these things. I do read. I read the fine print. And sometimes, just looking for the weight of something can be a project. But it's there somewhere. By law, it's got to be that container of tomatoes has got to say somewhere how many ounces it is. So that's by law. And not that people don't break the law, they do, but for the most part, they don't. So I have to trust that. Anyway, for $34, I went to my produce market, and I bought an amazing amount of food. Amazing. And that included, by the way, 3 pounds of absolutely delicious California grapes. They had grapes that cost anywhere from $2.69 down to 99 cents. I always sneak a taste, and I figured that the 99 cent a pound grapes were really good, so why not buy them? And I did. And they came in a 3 pound box. Usually I'm offended that I can't just have 1 pound, but at 99 cents a pound, I was willing to gamble on 3 pounds. So here's a hint. When you see, I bought green seedless grapes, but when green seedless grapes get really ripe on the vine, they take on a little golden hue. So this came in a clear box, big box, because 3 pounds, and I was able to see which box had the most grapes with that golden hue. And in fact, when we got them home, unbelievably sweeter were the ones with the golden hue. Not that the other ones weren't sweet. The one that I tasted to see was I'm going to buy these at all was not, in fact, with the golden hue. So you got to know your grapes to get good grapes. But in my neighborhood, grapes can be easily $4 a pound. And this was 99 cents a pound. That's a huge savings.
It's massive. And
I bought artichokes. Now, this is not artichoke season. And these were the tapered, not the big globe round artichokes. They're called globe. They're the round ones. I don't know where these were from. I guess somewhere in South America. Nowhere in the U.S. that I know they're harvesting artichokes in December. But they were 3 for $1, so I gambled on 6 of them, and I made them. It's a lot of work, artichokes. Let me just say that. And 6 artichokes, when I whittled them down to the hearts and a bit of as much of the stem as I could salvage, they all had stems, which I like too, it was enough for 2. We did have a little artichoke feast, but it was just the 2 of us, and we finished them off. Here's how I cooked them in several ways. I was gambling, and I lost, that these artichokes were not going to have a significant choke, which is that middle section of the artichoke. Don't ask me botanically what it becomes when the artichoke becomes a flower, but it's the insides of the flower. And it's purple and white and fuzzy and not good to eat. On the big globe artichokes, you have to take it out because it'll actually cut you. The little purple tips are very sharp. But I gambled that these were not going to have significant chokes, but it ends up they did. And, you know, prepping artichokes is not my favorite kitchen job, but I did it. And I stripped them of all the outer leaves. I kept dipping them into a bowl of lemon water to make sure that they didn't turn brown. And by the way, I use ice water, put ice cubes in the water, because keeping them cold also prevents them from turning color. It's, you know, the colder it is, the slower any chemical reaction happens. So once they're all cleaned up and stripped down to the tender leaves in the middle and the nice choke, which I take a tip of a knife and cut out, I put them in I did them Turkish style. I do several things with these, but I had it in my head to do it. I had a lot of lemons, which I also bought very cheap. Lemons had gotten very expensive. In my neighborhood, you pay 75 cents a lemon. At Circus, I pay 40 cents a lemon. So I was extravagant with lemon this weekend. So the lemon water, and also I rubbed lemon on the cut surfaces. So I put them in a pan, flat side down, with some olive oil, enough to cover the bottom of the pan. Don't be too stingy with the oil here. You want a nice amount of oil. And cover the pan and let them, over low heat, let them steam for 20 minutes. At one point, I did turn them over, and then I turned them back, but you don't have to. And then I added about a cup and a half of water, 3 tablespoons of uncooked rice, long grain rice I used, but any rice will do, and the juice of half a lemon, and salt. And I covered the pan again and let them cook for about 18 minutes. You basically are cooking, you want the artichokes to be fully tender, which they will be after another 18 minutes, but you want the rice fully cooked as well. And that takes 15 to 18 minutes. And that's it. And then you could squeeze it with a little bit more lemon. And if you want an herb, dill is the perfect herb. But if you don't have any dill, just put some parsley in or nothing at all. They're delicious as is, just with the lemon. So that's what I did with those artichokes. Now, I also have, I really bought a lot of veggies. I also have a head of cauliflower. Green cauliflower. Strangely, the green cauliflower, And this is cauliflower season, by the way. So cauliflower seems to be at its peak price, I mean, it's the most expensive, around Thanksgiving. Something tells me, like the price, that it's extremely popular nowadays for Thanksgiving. As, by the way, are Brussels sprouts, which also tend to be expensive around Thanksgiving and then fall in price. So cauliflower, I laugh about this recipe that I use a lot because an unmentioned friend of mine wanted to put it in, she'd eaten it in my house, and she wanted to put it in a cookbook that she was, let's say she was writing it, but in fact she had a crew, a staff, writing it. So the staff made the recipe, and then she called me up and she said, well, it doesn't have a lot of flavor. Could we add this? Could we add that? I said, no. Well, you can if you want, but don't call it mine. Don't say it's my recipe. This is the simplest thing in the world. And I ate it in a trattoria in Sicily. I'm racking my brain to remember what town. But it was one of those days, like the other day, when I was craving vegetables. And if you go to most trattorias in the summer in Sicily, all you're going to find is eggplant and zucchini on the table. Go to this place, and they had a big, big round table with the antipasti of vegetables, all kinds of vegetables. This was particularly good. You beat together. In fact, this recipe is in the Southern Italian Table. I actually do cook my own recipes. And you beat an egg or two, depends on how much cauliflower. Oh, first of all, break up the cauliflower and steam it until it's tender, or boil it until it's tender. I tend to steam things these days. And then you can let it cool. You can do that ahead. You can do that in the morning for the afternoon or evening. And then beat together a couple eggs and, say, half a cup of Parmigiano, grated cheese, and salt and pepper. And you turn the cauliflower in this, I'm going to call it a batter, even though it has no flour, just egg and cheese, salt and pepper. And you turn the cauliflower in it until it, you know, the egg seeps into the craggles of the cauliflower. And then you cook it in a skillet with some olive oil. I use a nonstick skillet in this case because I don't want to use a lot more oil. And but enough oil to skim the bottom of the pan, at least. And you turn the egg and cheese-coated cauliflower, already cooked, in this in the oil until the egg starts getting a tiny bit brown. You really want to cook it well. And that's it. And you can sprinkle it with salt and more pepper, if you like, when you eat it. And you eat it at you can eat it at room temperature. I like it warm, out of the pan. You know, I don't make it for company, so to speak. So these days, Bob and I can eat a whole head of cauliflower, just the two of us. So
have you ever
had... We eat it recently out of the pan.
Have you ever had cauliflower pizza where the pizza is actually made on cauliflower?
I haven't had it, and you know what? I'm decided I'm not interested.
Oprah
has a Oprah brand that's made with cauliflower.
LeBron's once had a tasting station for, and you know what? It was really good.
On your way home, you hit a tasting station.
Was it just a good thing?
It was a good thing because
but
it had...
But not pizza.
It tasted like pizza. That was with the marinara and cheese, and the cauliflower was crisp.
Well, you can put marinara and cheese on anything and say it's
thank you, Jill.
Yeah, but I mean, it was... I just did
put
because...
Put batter and fry on it. It could be cardboard.
But I hate cauliflower, so I just... They had a tasting station with these little squares.
You hate cauliflower.
Yeah, I do. I don't
like but it.
You have a Polish background. I mean, the Poles eat a lot of cauliflower.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, he likes cabbage, and
I do make it the way my grandmother made it sometimes, but it requires a lot of fat, like butter. She used to do it with goose fat or chicken fat, but you fry up a lot of breadcrumbs and whatever fat you've got, and then toss your already cooked cauliflower in it.
And then you put kielbasa.
The French would say it's polonaise.
You put kielbasa in it. That's what my grandmother used to
and
do.
Then, and then put marinara and cheese. No, I'm joking. But
I mean, I guess I owe it to my calling, my career, to taste cauliflower pizza, since it is becoming a thing.
Yeah, but kale's a thing. Back to the store. One of the problems is that there's an appalling, sorry guys, lack of education among people who don't mind splashing out. They think that a box of poorly, a box that will shrink down to less than a serving of greens of half kale, half spinach for $5.99 is worth buying.
Well, I don't know. I'm now that I'm in a spinach mode for the last year or so, I'm more discerning. And I did buy spinach the other day. It was 99 cents a bunch. A bunch consisted of the kind of spinach that grows out of a crown, and these crowns were it was like four big ones per bunch, and one bunch had like six smaller ones. And I could tell that it was very fresh by the crowns because there was no dry ends on these crowns. They were like still oozing their spinach blood. So I bought three bunches, and one bunch I made into a dish. Now I'm racking my brain where I had this, but it was a version of tarator, which is in Turkey, not in other countries. The word tarator is used for a yogurt and nut spread, dip, whatever you want to call it. I had one with walnuts, yogurt, garlic, and spinach. So I've been dying to make this. I finally made it, and I could not believe how sweet this spinach was. I was so happy I had bought three bunches because I only needed one bunch for the tarator, and I'll tell you how I do that in a second. And the others I just cooked, and we ate it without even any salt. It was so sweet and so, I don't know. I'd never had, Bob neither, we'd never had spinach that tasted like this. And I wondered if maybe because they were enclosing the produce market when I was there, meaning it was getting pretty cold, and they were putting up their winter doors all around everything. It's an open market. There's an inside, too, but there's more outside than in. And the outside is where you find the bargains. So I wondered if it wasn't the cold that made this spinach taste so sweet. Now, I never heard this about spinach, but certainly kale, collard greens, these are considered winter vegetables because they taste better once there's been a frost.
You can do a
but
second.
That always refers to a frost and they're in the ground, not a frost while they were laying on a bin in the produce market. Spinach like this, you have to wash extremely well. I washed mine three times. I put it into a big pot of cold water. I swish it around. I lift off the spinach from the top of the water, put it in my colander. You'll see the first time you do it, the whole bottom of the pot's full of sand. You pour that out, you wash out the pot, you do it again, and if need be, you can even do it a fourth time. Wouldn't hurt. The second, third time, definitely let the spinach sit there for a few minutes before you lift it off the top because some of the sand will make its way to the bottom that way. Anyway, I then put the wet spinach in a pot. Now, since I was only doing one bunch, and by the way, I did trim off the thick stems, the small leaves, I just put the whole thing in with stems. But if it has a thick stem, I fold the leaf in half so that the stem is between my thumb and forefinger, and I zip it out by the stem that's sticking out. Anyway, a bunch of spinach. I thought, I'm not going to put a big pot up. So I just put it in a skillet. And when you cook spinach like this in an open pan, there's not going to be a lot of moisture left in the end. In fact, my one bunch of spinach, recently washed, maybe it sat in the colander a few minutes before I actually put it in the skillet, over medium-high heat, took 3 minutes, I would say, to totally wilt down. While it's wilting, I turn it with tongs so that the top goes to the bottom and vice versa. And really, only takes 3 minutes, and you've got cooked spinach. Now, you could eat it just like that. For me, it's fine just like that. If you want to put some lubrication on it, you could dress it with a little bit of olive oil or a pat of butter. You can put some lemon juice on. It's from that point that I sauté it with garlic and olive oil. So a lot you can do, well, you know, anything you would do with cooked spinach. It is so much better than any frozen spinach you can buy. On the other hand, I always keep a box of frozen spinach in the freezer just in case.
I thought, I was just going to say, when I was a kid, I could eat spinach. But in the wintertime, when they brought out these frozen boxes that they cut open, forget it.
I know. It would be something that was going to be put into something else.
You could use that for quiche, for example.
Maybe a soup.
Soup or quiche.
In a pinch, you need something green.
Yeah.
Frozen spinach and frozen peas are emergencies for me. So anyway, it was really, we finished off the other two bunches of spinach without anything on it. But there's so many kinds of spinach in the market now. But what I see most often is what they call baby spinach, which are these round leaves detached from nature in a plastic box. They don't have that much flavor, which is why they're okay in a salad. But spinach in a salad has less nutritional value than lettuce in a salad. I'm not sure why people got into spinach salad.
Because the bacon, the warm bacon,
salad
warm
was
bacon
a,
dressing.
Was a dish of our day, if
right.
you remember.
If you put warm bacon, if you put bacon and a little bit of crumbled cheese on raw spinach.
I don't need the cheese. I want the bacon and mushrooms.
That's perfect. Right, exactly. So that there, air goes.
And a mustard vinaigrette.
Right, and you're in great shape. I don't like raw spinach. I can't help it. It makes my teeth sort of like gnarly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but there's so many different flavors in raw spinach. I bought this spinach because I do favor this variety, which is the kind that grows. It has a crinkly leaf. It's not necessarily pretty or perfect. It has a crinkly, dark green leaf. And it grows, as I said, out of a crown and should be sold with the crowns. It means a lot of trimming, but something to do.
Well, as we wrap up the show, you guys just taught me a way I could probably eat one of those little things, Brussels sprouts. Wrap it in bacon. I could probably eat it that way.
I don't know. I love
Brussels
bacon.
Brussels sprouts or cauliflowers?
Me, it defeats the purpose of Brussels sprouts.
Of course it does.
Sure it does. Well, I'm not saying
I like Brussels
that,
sprouts
that,
a
that
lot.
Is the ultimate.
Interestingly, my two little great nieces, it's their favorite vegetable, roasted Brussels sprouts.
Only if you peel them. I just Brussels sprouts and cauliflower, but give me spinach. Truck in the spinach.
Well, spinach is good for you when it's cooked. Better for you. It's one of those vegetables that's actually better for you cooked than it is raw. Right. There are some things that are better for you raw, like broccoli, but I don't like eating raw broccoli, so I'd rather have the compromised, compromised cooked broccoli.
It's all a balancing act.
All right.
So I still have more vegetables to cook. I'm telling you, for $34, I got a week's worth of food here. It's unbelievable. But you got to go out of your way. It takes me 10, 15 minutes to get there, and I got to get in the car to do it.
It takes me 10 minutes.
I must say, I do see people shopping there who bring big, big shopping bags with them so that they can haul their stuff home on the bus. There is a bus that stops right in front of the place, practically. So anyway,
right.
I'm off to cook again.
Well, right. Off to cook.
Off to cook.
Enjoy your veggies.
Today I'm making the leeks the way I made the artichokes. I got a good hit on leeks here.
That's very good. Yeah. Marshall made some wicked potato leek soup.
Yeah, now it's time.
Yep. All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. You can find him, of course, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, online at robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand. Click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton. Flawless catering and event planning, HathawayYoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Groceries on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, Rubiner's.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or sit down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.